The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
In the law and order area, the apprehended violence order. Now, I've never had anything to do with any of these things, these AVOs. I've heard about them. I've reported them. Many of you listening to us would have had experiences, and you might like to share those with us. We've had the murder of a young hairdresser over the weekend, 26-year-old woman stabbed to death on Saturday morning. She was allegedly summoned to an Auburn car park by her ex-husband, a 33-year-old man, estranged from her. He had been acting violently towards her. She'd recently taken out an AVO. Like so many women, she was forced to live in a women's refuge over recent months. Not an isolated issue. 45,000 AVOs taken out in New South Wales in 2013, more than 13,000 of them breached. We talked about this earlier, that the breached ones, the 13,000 that are breached, presumably that is situations where the breach has occurred, there's been a report, and we know that the AVO has been breached. And I'm wondering the extent to which these things do work, because at the extreme level, you're not going to stop someone who's got in their mind that they're going to kill someone or go close to killing them. But does it actually result in people keeping their distance, not making contact? Howard Brown's the Vice President of the Victims of Crime Assistance League. He's got strong views on this. Mr. Brown, good morning.
Hey, John, how are you?
Howard, thanks for joining us. Are AVOs worth the paper they're written on? We've just heard 45,000 being issued, 13,000 being breached. That's one in three.
Well, yeah, it is. And this is one of the problems, Gary, is that it's actually picking these one in three that are going to breach, who are then going to go on and commit far more serious crimes, such as grievous bodily harm or, regrettably, as is the case with Layla Olavi over the weekend, a death. And one of the problems we have is that we don't believe the courts are taking breaches seriously enough. We foresee far too often they just extend the AVO, they may impose a small financial fine, but they don't address the real problem, and that is that, unfortunately, regrettably, third of our homicides, it comes about as a result of a domestic violence situation, and courts are just not being strong enough, preventing these people from breaching, from going on and committing far more serious crimes.
Howard, if I took out an AVO against you or whoever, is that independently assessed and then graded on the amount of risk that's involved?
We don't really do that well, Gary. That's one of the real problems, because it's basically left to the police prosecutor to put that information before the court. The problem is that when we generically refer to Ladies' Day, which is a day set aside in the courts to deal with AVOs, a police prosecutor may be handling up to 50 cases in one day. He's only briefed on those matters probably at 7:30 in the morning, and it's just not sufficient time to put before the court all the details relating to the offender to allow a magistrate to make a really decent decision.
Now, if you end up with some cases, though, don't you, where you have someone obsessed with a former partner, is an AVO necessarily going to stop them from making contact with them?
No, it's not. And this is one of the problems we know, for example, in the case of Layla Olavi. There had been a number of instances where her ex-partner had put her under so much pressure to talk with him, and of course she regrettably acceded to those requests, and it gave him the opportunity then to think, well, okay, I can keep getting away with this, and it gradually accelerates. And of course the problem is, we know that early intervention prevents this acceleration of the violence, and the courts need to intervene and say, sorry, you've breached, you're going into custody, and we are going to give you treatment for this, and that's what we really need to do.
All right, you've got a personal tale about domestic violence, haven't you, Howard?
Yes, regrettably, Barry, I have. I mean, yesterday was the 27th anniversary of my mate's murder. He died protecting a young woman who was had been the subject of domestic violence by a previous partner. He'd actually been charged with a series of offences, had been released on bail. One of his bail conditions was that he was not to approach her. He breached that on 8 separate occasions. The courts on each individual occasion refused to do anything about it. It became so bad that my mate was providing bodyguarding assistance to this young woman. And then 27 years ago, yesterday, the offender turned up, tried to grab this young woman, and my mate gave his life to protect her.
So, there was no AVO taken out in that instance, though, was there?
No, there wasn't. But he was subject to bail conditions, which prevented him from doing that. And the breach of the bail conditions should have taken him back into custody. And again, the courts refused to do so.
Yeah.
12 months ago, I started a 6-week murder trial following the death of Rochelle Yeo, who had been stalked by her ex-boyfriend Paul Mulvihill, who is now serving 22 years for Rochelle's murder. Doesn't bring Rochelle back, though, and that's the problem. As I say, a third of our homicides come about as a result of domestic violence. We need to do more about it, because after 27 years, I can't see that things have changed.
Yep. So you're saying, essentially, that people hearing about this today, they know that if there's an AVO taken out against them, they figure, well, I'll breach it because I'll just extend it rather than end up in the slammer.
Exactly. And what we have to do is say, no, I'm sorry, you're going into jail and we're going to give you a treatment, because clearly you are treating these women as shackles, and you've got to learn that you've got to have far more respect for women. And put them inside for a little while and give them some treatment, I think you would see a great reduction in the number of breaches.
Howard, there'll be a bean counter somewhere who'll be doing the numbers on the cost of what you've just described. They go into jail, there's a cost. They get rehabilitation and they get treatment, there's a cost. But that's a cost we ought to be bearing, isn't it?
Well, it is, because it's a hell of a lot cheaper to do it that way than to have to worry about dealing with the after effects of a murder.
Exactly. Absolutely. Thank you for your time, as always.
Thanks, Scott.
Howard Brown, the Vice President of the Victims of Crime Assistance League. That makes sense. It probably does come down to dollars and cents, doesn't it? That someone would be going, oh, yeah, it was too expensive to put them in jail.
I find that an extraordinary number, up to 50,000 AVOs being issued every year. Just here in New South Wales. That's an extraordinary number, isn't it?
And there'd be a lot of those AVOs that would think are an abuse of the system.
Well, we know. We keep hearing reports of those ones. It's the ones that require effective follow-up that the ones we're talking about.
That's right. What do you think about that? 13, 13, 32. Do you think we should be paying more to put people in jail in these situations and to give them some sort of treatment to prevent them doing it again, or prevent them causing harm to their partners?